finish up.
Alrighty. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Common Ground. My name's Kelly.
My name's Sean.
Thomas.
Thomas, perfect. And again, like I said, we shouldn't make promises.
Hey, we already I have an excuse. Those. I had a bad fever last night. There was no way I was able to do the podcast.
Yeah. So instead, we watched Now You See Me Too.
We watched a movie. It was a pretty decent movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah. It's not bad. I like the first one more, though. But yeah. Sorry.
Anyways, today is Sean's turn for a topic, so let's hear it, Sean.
Okay, so one of the topics I was thinking about. Sorry, I'm a little sick. You're going to hear a lot of coughing.
Everyone's dying.
Mm-hmm. So in the future, if all, let's say all artisanal craft goods, you know, whether they're a useful or not a useful skill, if in the near future, would it be possible to have a machine or a set of machines mass produce what they made, and it's going to be better quality, better everything about it. It's just going to be a better product. Or is there some sort of human element, some like handcrafted thing that a machine just can't replicate? You know, like when someone says, oh, I put the feeling and love into this one, which makes it different from this one. And I wonder if you can create a machine as highly technical as it can be, and it's going to be perfect, if not better.
I say absolutely.
I mean, I'm on the same boat as Tom. Fuck it.
It's measurements. You know how it's like everyone always says, oh, it's mass produced. This is just not good.
I think people, right, because the technology is not good enough to compare to an artisanal craft. But you're, right. The scenario that you're bringing up is.
Guys, hang on. When you get any kind of produced thing manufactured, like that Coke can you're drinking right now, that's insane compared to when it first came out, right? Mm-hmm. When it first came out, it was like, this tastes just like everything I wanted. This is perfect. It doesn't taste bad, and it's consistent as well, whatever the case might be. It was just as good as her artisanal stuff, and it's still going to become as good as artisanal stuff.
Are you talking about the Coke is going to be as good?
Coke products, food in general.
You're saying, so if so, let's say someone handcrafted a Coke, and it tastes just like a regular Coke today, right?
Yeah.
You're saying, actually, no, I can't go with that one.
Yeah, then why can't I? Because the Coke, and then what
you're happens? You're saying someone's always going to make it better, or the machine's always going to make it better?
I guess what Sean's trying to argue is, if I was to create the greatest soda, the greatest, you know, like I'm an artist, in creating sodas, would a machine be able to outdo my craft at some point?
If you were that guy and then you help make the machine and tell them, the researchers, whatever it is, right? Because it has to start somewhere. You need a recipe. That's how it all started up. You need somehow to do it first. And if he works with the computer machine to make it better, then it probably will become better. And that's the way I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because...
But Sean's argument would be that there's some human element.
Is there, you know? Or it's like, you know, what I think, when I say the human element is like some human, like, hand craftsmanship is like, sometimes, like, you know, let's say you're a pottery person, you're just making a pot of clay, mm-hmm. and it's like, maybe, like, the ridges in your hands, unique to you, because, you know, that you have like different like wrinkles or something, and then when you move the clay, like there's like little micro specs, little small measurements where it's like, you know, this may have some like, you know, irregularities. I'm sure if you have a machine one, you can make it like a perfect like circumference or whatever.
Or I can make a machine that makes irregularity.
But what kind? But like, you know, what makes the irregularity good, right? But you know what? You get what I'm saying. So if that person is making the pot of clay and you know, they flash it or fired it by hand and everything, and you held up one made by her and then one made by a machine that was supposed to make a really good pot just like hers, you know. It's like, would hers be better? What's the, like, the amount of water? Maybe she just put in the right amount of water. But she doesn't know because the water is different every time. You know, she's like, well, sometimes I feel like the day is hotter, so it needs a little of this, blah, blah, blah. Do you think the machine can do that?
Well, I think, yeah. Then you have to say, how much can this machine learn? Because, yeah, I agree that one of the greatest strengths of a machine is to be able to consistently reproduce. But then where humans are superiors that they know how to adjust based on circumstances. So like, right. Oh, I know this person likes their food a little saltier.
Sure.
So I'm going to, instead of throwing in 10 milligrams of salt, I'm going to throw in 15 or something. Mm-hmm. So, but we're assuming in the future, this machine can take all of that into account.
We'll hope so. Yeah. We hope so. Yeah.
So then at that point, I do think that the machine will, because when it's able to calculate everything, right, then it can also be that irregularity. That it can also mimic human irregularity.
It can mimic human irregularity?
Yeah, why not? Just make a random number generator. This time I'm going to do it with this amount. This time I'm going to do it with that amount.
How would it know when how to do those amounts?
It just no. It just goes by its own schedule. Why does it even matter?
What do you mean?
It goes whenever you want.
Or it can like if it can like test the taste buds of the person and then
like what's okay. Well, let's say something that's like a little it's longer for time, I guess, and maybe a little bit more thought has to go into it. What if there's like two vineyards going up, you know? And let's say you have a keg of wine here or a barrel of wine here and a barrel of wine here, but like. How because there's like different yeast. Let's say, I mean, it's the same yeast, but let's say there's like, when you put the same amount, some of them like either mutated or did something a little bit different, right? And it's like the two products will end up being different because of something that they can't control.
I don't think it's gonna, to the degree you're talking about, you can't taste the difference between that.
You can't taste the difference between that?
And you're gonna, if you're gonna use the same ingredients as a chef,
mm-hmm.
it should come out the same if you make it the same. That's how restaurants work, right? So one person made the dish,
right?
Everyone else just copied them. And you do your best to copy him.
Okay, let's know. How about let's say that they don't have the recipe first. Let's say there's a there's a famous pasta maker, and she's never told anyone her technique. She's never been on TV. She's just in the restaurant, and she's making. And everyone says the best pasta.
Right.
Let's say if the machine doesn't know, they could see the pasta. I'm sure they could taste the pasta, but it's like, how can they replicate that? Can they reverse engineer that?
I don't think so.
It's not even taking account of reverse engineering. Let's just say it's a competition between this machine versus this artist.
Pasta artist.
I think there's a difference between a chef and an artist.
An artist?
Fuck? Well, chefs generally try. Yeah, they kind of follow a recipe and they cook food while.
No, you need to watch Chef's Table. You need to go watch the artistry of that.
It's yeah, insane. Well, I would consider them more than. Like just regular chefs, but anyways, that's artists. Neither here nor there. My point is that like if you put a competition between the two, right, and this chef doesn't input anything into this machine has to basically go off on its own
mm-hmm.
and create the best pasta recipe. Do you think that it can always outmatch the human?
No, it's subjective too because like,
is the way I can say it. Can I do this? And does it have the ability to go like online? Can I use other people's recipes, other things?
Yeah, you can use people's recipes, but my recipe, the number one, my recipe's not anywhere.
I think that there's a pattern between that, right? If you're trying to make the best bread in the world mm-hmm. or whatever, just the most popular people, if you could pull out the previous recipes of other chefs, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, and they will review it, right? They ate it, they reviewed it, they said this about it. So you might be able to find a pattern and then make your own recipe. I don't know how good this technology is.
Though. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So it's like if they scan the internet and for some reason there's going to be a common denominator that this is what the best pastas are.
Well, that's how artificial learning happens now for like Google search engine.
Right.
It just goes through. All it does, it goes through and just says like, this is a bird.
But it's going to come up with something good, right? It'll come up with something decent because it's going to scan the entire internet, but it'll never be mine. And it'll never. And then if it's never mine, then it doesn't know if it could be better than mine because
it doesn't know. It's just making the best thing in the world.
It's just making the best thing it can, right? But
yeah.
Let's say my recipe is the best, but since it's not posted anywhere, you'll never have the best.
Yeah. Well, you might not have the best.
You get a conglomeration like, well, I'm going to pick some from this recipe here, combine, it should be the best.
The problem with this is that I see it as one person says that their recipe is the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using that versus the millions and millions on the internet that says this is the best.
No, those millions of people on the internet will be like, well, I like some people like this one, some people like this mm-hmm. one.
But then there's a pattern for that, and it all becomes one.
Right? I'd even take it a step further that I think to a certain degree, taste is objective. It's mm-hmm. unique to each person, but I think it's objective. I think a machine can learn that. And then it doesn't need to use any, I wouldn't even need to use.
I don't know about
taste
that.
Taste is not objective. Taste is hella subjective.
No, but it's unique to the individual, but each person's taste can be objectively measured, in my opinion. Because it's just taste buds. It's the way that your taste buds are reacting to the chemicals in the food
okay.
is what creates taste. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely, it's subjective. One person might hate this food and one person might not, but that's because they have different taste buds. It's not because they have the exact... If two people have the exact same taste buds, they would think the same food tastes the same.
You know why you can't measure that? Because it's like anytime you try and describe, if you're having a robot describe something, because the way we describe it, it's like to you might be salty, me it might be less salty, but we could both agree it's salty, right?
Right.
So it's like how would a machine know like what? I don't know. I was going with this.
What are you saying?
I was almost getting there and then I lost it.
What I'm saying is that I think if you can scan a person's taste buds,
mm-hmm.
you could objectively find out what's the best taste for them.
For them.
Yeah.
For just them.
Right.
So there's not just like one objective.
No, you know why? I remember where I was going with this now. Is that it's almost like trying to describe a new color.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't because we can't fathom it, right? We can't make a new color. So if you see something, like, well, it's kind of reddish, you know, but it's hard to describe, right? So with food, it's like, well, it could be salty, and you might, the chemical taste buds that the machine can pick up will probably know it's salty, but they won't be able to describe it, how it actually is, just like a new color.
I mean, I would argue that, you know, it's just like, take an average of 1,000 people's taste buds, right? Mm-hmm. And as they find that the optimum salt level for the 1,000 people is, I don't know, 15 milligrams, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think a machine can learn that. I think it can, again, I think you can objectively find the...
But why would that be considered the objectively fine? Just because it's the average of everyone?
I mean, it just depends on, like, what this competition is for, right? Is there a single chef that's judging this? Is there, a 1,000 people are a survey or something? And then I would say, yeah, I mean, regardless, this person, the human, is just going to make one thing that they think is the best tasting, right? But I think the machine can make what's the most optimum based on everyone's taste buds or whatever. You know what I mean? And so in that sense, I think a machine can make a better, what was it? Pasta? We're going to pasta. It can make a better pasta.
Okay. Well, what about when it comes to like art or design?
Yeah.
Do you think a machine can, like, if you gave it 1,000 paintings and you told it to paint something great, you think it's going to paint something great and it's going to know what to do?
Yeah. That is a very nice picture. That's
a great picture.
It's been painted by probably a machine.
I know, but someone took a picture and then he just put it through a little
paint. So you want it to create itself.
Canvas and you give it a little paintbrush, create something. Create art.
Yes, yeah.
That's, create art. There's ways to digitally just make something. Right, I think computers do it, and I think last week I saw a great image. It had like 12 faces or something like that. But then when we were reading into it, it was saying like these 12 faces don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
These are just from pictures and randomizer and all this shit. But we put them together, and these look like real people. I think it's gonna be able to create. I think technology is just gonna be able to pull from what we think is beautiful, what we want, and then it's gonna try to generate that through.
What if it doesn't make sense? What if it feels like an artist when he paints something, like he has a purpose and a story, or sometimes a story, but he has like an intent, you know? Let's just say he was doing a regular painting, and how would the machine know, like, what brush strokes? Like, is he even wanting to create like a picture of someone, or is he going to create mountains?
I think he's going to choose what most people think they want to see. Or if you gave them a specific genre, right?
Right.
It'd be like paint something in postmodernism, whatever it is. Then it's going to pull just from that, and then it's going to have inspiration.
So you know what? You know what? Just to play devil's advocate, there was something interesting that I was thinking about. There's this anime I watched, which is a lot about like artifacts or like antiques. It was about antiques. Oh. it was actually a really interesting show. It talked a lot about like looking at forgeries and whatnot. And what people were saying is that the best art were the ones where you could sense the artist's imperfections. Mm-hmm. Like they were talking about how like the way that he wrote this character, it always had like a slight hinge on the backstroke, and you could always tell that it was this artist because of that imperfection. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it more unique and more valuable.
So can you copy that technique? I don't know, man.
Then I would just argue that a machine could do that too. but you know what I mean? I think the problem is that with art as opposed to food, art, there tends to be a meta story behind it that, you know, a lot of people say, like, this art is so fantastic because of what the artist was going through.
That's the same thing with food.
See, I think that's true. There's usually a story.
My grandma, she fished for these scallops with her bare hands out of this lake, and I got the scallops. You know, it's like, and then that's the story behind it, right?
Right, but yeah. I think you can separate the food's taste from the story behind it, but I think art is kind of intertwined with the story almost. Does that make sense? Now, I argue that I think that there's like an objective beauty, and right, like just like looking at the painting, like what's beautiful.
I don't like it. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I remember I don't like it when you can objectify good music and good art. Good subjectivities, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
How do you do that?
There's no objective truth, Tom.
Yeah, of course there is. I think... there's certain aspects can be objective and certain aspects cannot be, right? Like, again, like when we were going back to art, that I think when you compare Jackson Pollock's paintings with you know, paintings from the classical era, you can objectively, I think you can objectively say that the art itself, just looking at it, is more beautiful.
No, but then no, when you, what? I don't, maybe I hate that kind of art. Maybe I hate looking at it. Then your thing flies out the window. It goes out.
So what if it's like, what if it's good based on the context? So you're saying like the classical art is better than Jackson Pollock's in 1970, whatever, right? What if it was just like, this is exactly what this era or this year needed, and that's the art we got?
Well, that's here. What I'm saying. Then you can say that. Then you can say that the Jackson Pollock's paintings are, you know, incredible art for the era, for the style, time, right? For the for his methods, whatever. But I'm just saying that when you just take the objectivity of beauty itself.
I am.
I think you can say that that's objectively more beautiful.
To say objective is to say, hey, this is what everybody thinks. Everyone around the world says
it's
yes.
A fact, right?
It's a fact.
No, because of course people will always like to push away from the fact, right? Like,
but
people,
we know it's a fact, right?
What I'm saying is when you take every objective standard measure, like, you know, symmetry, realism, you know, brushstrokes, all
that
stuff.
That's you saying that, like, I want symmetry, right? I want symmetry to be the best thing in the world.
It's objective.
Most people kind of do. We always have that kind of gene.
Yeah, that's hardwired in our DNA.
Our DNA, it is. Now, why would someone doesn't believe that, though? Right? We say that's hardwired into us, but I think that there's a variation. So there's a lot of people who don't like symmetry and doesn't want it. Do they not factor into this?
Well, would they... What is the reason why they don't like the symmetry? I would say that there are different reasons. I don't think it's because they find it more beautiful for lack of symmetry.
Why not? Why don't they
say
it's
way beautiful?
Yeah, I want this. I say it is beautiful. I enjoy it. Why do you say... Why is your truth, your opinion of this, takes precedent over mine?
Well, because I'm going to, like, biological, like, factors.
So, biological factors, we have a lot of bad things in our biological factors, right?
Such as?
For me, I think... What's it called? Our ability just to destroy things and get fucked up. That's pretty bad. It's very hard for us to get to where we are, I think. And I think we have things from back then that we still exist, that has in our DNA now. Mm-hmm. So just like that primal, primitive state.
Uh-huh.
Just aggression, whatever it is. And there's a lot of people that shows this in our society now. And even though we are the best society we got, right? In the human history, this is the most peaceful it's been.
Right.
But there's people out there that don't subscribe to that.
Right.
And it's in their DNA. This is my DNA. Our DNA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess when you go to, like, thinking about, like, way back when, like, rape, you know? Like, that was, like, kind of a normal thing. You know?
Yeah, quite awful.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, there's, like, a primal instinct.
But there's countries now that do believe that, too.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking, because it's the primal instinct, to reproduce. Okay, I can see that.
All right, that's that.
Wow. So, bringing that back around, though, to symmetry versus...
Pasta. I do machines, and would you pay more money for a machine one or someone who made it?
See,
same product.
Same product. Like, do I know it's exactly the same product?
No, you know one was told that it was made by a person, the other one was made by a machine. But they taste exactly the same.
I would say... A person, yeah.
Yeah, so will you pay for more for that?
This is like the Payless shoe thing, right? Just because it's like, have you heard about this?
No,
it's in the car, I think.
Yeah, so Payless Shoes had opened up this, like, what is it, like a bougie store, and they were brought in all these famous celebrities and artists and stuff like that, and they were selling shoes. And they had these exorbitant prices, and they were saying, you know, these are the finest shoes. Right. And people were saying, I would pay $700, but they were all like Payless shoes for like $20, mm-hmm. right? I think you're falling into the same trap, right?
What trap am I falling into?
That just because it's done by a human, you think that it should be worth more.
Or just made by versus who they believe is the best, right?
Oh, so it's just like brand identity. Like, if you don't know the brand, then
brand, yeah, brand name is the big one.
Right.
Because it was like a marketing thing.
Yeah, like, let's just say someone told you, like, this is the exact same thing, exact same taste, but one's human, one's made by a machine. Then would you pay a different price?
I think if you give it as a gift, you probably would, right?
Okay, so it's like
I spent more just because I wanted someone to make it for you.
So you're saying, are you guys really saying that machines can do everything, or they're going to do everything?
Eventually.
Okay, so I want them to see...
Near future at all.
Okay, I'll say not near future, but let's say it's like, It's something will happen. What'll happen? Let's say this is like the ultimate thing that they can't figure out, just because there's so many factors and there's too many different outcomes, right? Well, it's like if you told a robot, go back in time, 2008, whatever, and I want you to solve the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. You think a machine would be able to do that? It's like, I will know. I know exactly what kind of contract I need to sign or peace treaty over here, and then I need to know exactly who I need to talk to and communicate with, and they know, you know.
I don't think that, because there's a level of variability to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
People, it has to deal with other people. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Who are inconsistent.
So how is a machine going to do that?
Well, no, so technically speaking, and this was in the show we were watching. You remember about the LaPasta's demon, which is like, if you can calculate every single atom's movement, every single thing, then you can predict the future. So the question is, if the computer can get to that level, then I would say yeah, because it would be able to calculate every inconsistency. It would take an enormous amount of memory, processing power, everything.
But you know, they can't do it. It's because of the unknown.
Well, no, you can. There's nothing that's unknown if you know every single thing that's going to happen. Like, really?
No, there is. So it's like, imagine this. It's like, it's a game of Texas Hold'em, right? And there's reasons why you can't have bots on Texas Hold'em, is because they have imperfect information. So, because I have two cards right here, and you don't know what these two cards are. What they can do is they have outs, right?
But
you have, here's how many outs you have. It's like, I could be holding two aces, or I could be holding just an ace, right?
Right.
And you know how many outs there are, because there's only 52 cards in the deck, right?
Right.
So it's like, I need an ace to win, right?
Right.
So I only have three outs.
Yeah.
I only have three cards, right? But you don't know if I have those three cards or not, and you won't know if you need to call me or not.
Well, okay.
You won't know how much to bet. How much would a machine know how to bet?
Here's the problem. You're putting this in a vacuum. I say that it knows everything. So it knows where the card stack came from. It knows how it was stacked.
You know how the cards were made.
I don't think that.
You know why? Because it's more imperfect information.
But no, that's what I'm saying, is that in order for a computer to be able to solve everything, is that it would need to have...
So it can't solve everything.
I don't think you can get to that level in any time in the future, ever. Because so again, it would take an enormous amount.
Never. Yeah. So it's never.
I guess.
The answer is no.
I mean, in theory, it's possible, but in practicality, no. Let's just put it that way.
Cool.
But I feel like, because again, you know, our brains are basically just super, 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 super computers, right? We have just a ton of, like a computer doesn't have the same processing power as we do in a certain degree yet. But at some point, it's going to get better than our brain. And then at that point, they're gonna be able to start.
To me, the way I think about it is like, if you want to know, just, and I'm just saying the atoms perspective, right? You know how the arrangement of every fucking atom in the world is. Your decisions, your actions, because when you're taking kind of like a human or whatever, an animal, anything that thinks, that's not quantified by atoms.
I would say in theory.
You'll know where those exact atoms are.
So I would make a left instead of a right?
Well, no, we're talking about, you know, the chemicals in your brains will point you to take that left.
More than just my chemical stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't
now
know.
Now we're getting to a subject about free will versus, like...
Yeah. I don't know about that one, though. That is, again, I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah, all right, go back with it.
I do not subscribe to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think in theory it's possible, yeah. I think people are driven... generally by a series of chemicals in their body, and that leads to certain actions and reactions and actions and reactions.
Yeah, but what happens if that's the day you decide, no, I'm going to go against my feelings? That's
a chemical reaction.
Yeah, but...
Your stubbornness to react against your reaction is a reaction.
I don't know if that's how the human body works.
You might lean towards a way. Predestination or predetermination?
Yeah. I think you lean towards a way.
You know what?
You
I think
always
is,
do
dude,
make
I
that
heard
decision.
This one thing. It's like, instead of... Imagine the start of time, right? And instead of being a clock, imagine we're in this room right here, and it's like one of those... those little experiments they do where, like, they have, like, a water bottle and they'll knock over and roll into a ball, into a marble or something.
Oh,
fine.
God damn it.
Goldberg machine.
Yeah,
Goldberg
machine.
And it's like, instead of time being a clock, time is a linear path that's happening. And imagine a ball was dropped here and it knocked over something. Every single thing is going to be predetermined because the rules of gravity or whatever are just going, and time is just moving, mm-hmm. and it knows where every exact atom is going to fall because it's all predestined, because it's all going to happen, because that's what's happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So think of, like, time as a Rube Goldberg machine, and it's just moving across that line. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, oh man, we could have prevented this earthquake. No, it was going to happen anyway, you know, mm-hmm. because what you did affected this, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so you say that's, you're saying that's not how it is.
I'm saying that's what you, I think you think how it is.
Oh, okay. Do you agree?
Do you agree? Do you agree with that, Tom?
I think that describes you very well. Describes mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, that's essentially what I would say. Yeah, is that, again, like everything.
I don't like that talk. There goes the free will, man. There goes the free will. Us talking about this right now, it knew it was gonna do it. It knew it.
I mean, in theory, right? Yeah.
In theory, you can't slap in theory. Slapping in theory doesn't work. I don't know. I don't agree to that because I don't think atoms and makeup's gonna determine your decision. Right? That's the difference. Free will. I could decide to do this. My atoms, my chemicals, the way I'm made
up. Everything you're processing, yeah.
Yeah, it tends to lead towards different directions, but doesn't mean I will make that direction. Doesn't mean I will choose that. You can overcome your, I guess, those chemical reactions in your head.
See, that's what I'm saying, is that I think that that's just another, that's a stronger chemical reaction overriding the other ones. Right? Your need to choose the other direction, there's obviously a reason behind that. There's a reason why you chose that to be the best, the optimum choice, right?
It could be the bad choice. Yeah, you choose it one way, but that's not quantifiable. Those chemical reactions don't just switch automatically and then, oh, hey, I need to do that. That means you would just do it before you actually decide to do it, right?
Well, that's why I'm saying that I think it's, in theory, right? I obviously can't prove this because I don't have enough processing power to be able to to be able to predict that.
Nothing right? could be able to predict that at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually I think computers will be able to get to that level.
No. I don't think about decisions.
Can't be decisions anymore. We talked about that. No decisions.
Yeah, I don't know. When it has to factor in random things.
Or unknowns. If they had perfect
information. What I'm suggesting is that there's no unknowns. If you have all the information in the universe, there is no unknown. There's no random.
Don't know what I'm thinking right now, Tom. Think of the word I'm thinking right now.
I'm not psychic. I don't have all the unknowns.
Like that information.
No, but how would a robot know what's in my head?
Yeah, whatever he's thinking isn't a chemical reaction.
It's a thought.
It's a thought. It's different.
But you're thinking of it. There's going to be a set.
I will stand in front of a camera.
Set of circumstances, yeah, your environment, your childhood, your upbringing, everything will be able to lead you to it to be able to think of the word that you're, or be able to tell the word that you're thinking of, is what I would say.
What the fuck? You choose a bullshit word. Yeah.
You know what else is quantum entanglement?
God, quantum teleportation. There'll be a reason why you pick that specific word, right? There'll be a reason.
You're saying,
and I'm saying, you it might be unconscious. You might not know, but I'm saying this computer.
I don't even know because it's my subconscious. How are you gonna know?
Because again, I think that this supercomputer, again, we're theorizing a computer that knows everything in the universe, would be able to take in all the information about you, all the information about your environment, everything, and be able to predict what you're thinking.
It doesn't know what I'm thinking because it can't predict everything I've done for my entire life.
Knows what it does. You've done for your entire life. Who says that some one small thing shouldn't just trip it up?
It's like the butterfly effect, dude. So it's like, yeah, how one small thing would trip
it up? Like my entire life could be the love, the force, and everything like that. But fuck, I don't know. The bathroom I went to beforehand had like a fish on the wall. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking the word fish. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It'd be able to.
You know what? It wouldn't know how decisions affect you. Because, you know, it's like, let's say you had your upbringing, you know. And let's say just like a tree fell in front of you, right?
Right.
And then would the machine think, man, he probably thought that tree falling is pretty cool. Or maybe he was scared of the trees falling and now he's going to be scared.
But how would it know? It knows every single one of the chemicals like that you're releasing fear, for example, right? When you see that tree fall. So it knows that you were fearful of the tree.
Okay.
Yeah. So then it would know that what your reaction to the tree was.
And it would know that specific event is the one that made it. Because what if there was another event later?
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Yeah?
I think you're talking about what is determined in your life that is important? A machine won't be able to tell.
Yes, Tom. Okay,
I think it will be able to tell.
Just Tom, by saying this is the highest amount?
Tom, the tree fell, right? I got scared, right? And then the next day, another tree fell, and I didn't get scared, right? So it's like it would be able to take in both of those events, and then it would make a decision like, well, since even they're 50-50, it's like at one point he didn't like it, at one point he liked it. I know which one he's going to lead. Or it's either me being different, but or he'd be for or against. He's like, I know which way he's going to lean. And you think that it'll be able to tell, make that decision.
Yeah.
He's only seen those two instances where he feels like that he could, that he knows what's going to happen.
Right? But again, you're saying those, only those two instances. Again,
no, I'm saying...
in a vacuum.
No, I'm saying those two instances...
How many times has a tree fell on you?
I'm just saying the machine knows that those two scenarios are the only thing that could have affected his fear or liking of trees.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, because there could be a million other things.
That, except that he likes the fear... Okay, so you're saying that it's going to be able to know all the decisions between all those million other things about trees?
Yeah.
How would he know if it's a tree effect or not? It's like, oh, he saw a bat. Write that, put it in the tree mark, right? Oh, he's looking at water. Okay, put him in the tree mark. And it's like, we're going to take these million of events, and we know that we're right, all right? But we didn't, you won't know if it affects him in his head or not.
But I'm saying this computer would know.
This is like the stupid
hang on, we are done. 30-minute episode. Let's keep it short.
Right.
All
right.
Thank you, guys, for tuning in. Oh, guys. This is taboo.
See you later, guys.